Okay, everybody, say it's good to be back. We're going to learn something from Shimshon Pinkus tonight, Parshas Vayigash. And the pasuk says, "Vayaris ha'agolos asher shalach Yosef." He saw the agolos. Yaakov Avinu, who at the time still thought that his son was dead, that Yosef had died. And suddenly they come back and they're telling him that his son is really alive and that he's the Moshe B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. He is the ruler of the entire Egypt. Quite a turnaround. And Yaakov Avinu really didn't believe them at first. And then he saw the agolos. He saw the wagons that Yosef sent. And Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avim. And all of a sudden his spirits became uplifted. Rashi says, what did he exactly see? What was these agolos that he saw? Simon Maser Lahem B'mahaya Eisek Kishapir Shemenu. He was really relaying a simon. Yosef, by sending those wagons, was sending him some sort of like a secret password. What were they learning when they parted ways from each other? B'parashas Egla Rufa. They are being Isaac in the parsha of Egla Rufa. There is a whole parsha in the Torah describing an Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is when a dead body, a carcass, a corpse rather, is found between two cities, and they don't know who killed this guy. So there's a whole process by Ziknei Besten. They have to go and they measure which city is the closest city to this mace. And then the bestin of that particular city has to make a proclamation that we didn't kill this guy. We didn't see that he left our town without feeding him properly, without escorting him properly. And Kapar Lamcha Yisrael, whoever did it, should have a kapara. And then they go and they take an egla, an egla like a calf, and they break its neck. And that's the process of being metar or being mechaper for this dead person that's found. That was the last parsha that they were discussing, that Yaakov and Yosef were discussing before Yosef left and for the last time saw his father Yaakov. They were being Isaac in the parsha of Egla Rufa. So by Yosef sending the agolos, by sending those wagons, the word agala and the word egla are the same letters, even though it means two separate things, right? One means a wagon, one means a calf. But this was like a secret password that only Yaakov and Yosef knew. He saw the agalas that Yosef sent. He doesn't say that Pari sent, it says that Yosef sent, even though Pari was really technically the one to send the agolos. It was his idea, but for some reason, Yaakov Avinu was able to realize that it was the message of Egla Arufa that was being conveyed to him by Yosef, and that's why he was able to survive. That's why he was able to be Batchi Ruach Yaakov Avinu. Okay, so that is what Rashi said. Everyone understand that? This is a way of Yaakov Avinu knowing that Yosef was alive. Yosef sent the agolos, and the agolos don't mean just wagons, although those were sent also, but there was an understanding that it was, this is Egla Rufa, this is the last thing that we had learned together, and Yosef had brilliantly sent that in a way that Yaakov Avinu would catch on, and that's why Yaakov believed that Yosef was still alive. Reb Pinkus brings a famous story here that and he ties it into this in a beautiful way. Yadua Hamaisa Shira Im Hagrazatzal. The Vilna Gaon once was posed a very, very interesting question. You know, the Vilna Gaon was a brilliant, brilliant man in Torah. He was a brilliant man in all chachmas. He actually mastered practically every chachma. If you look in the introduction to a certain sefer called Pasa Shulchan, which was put out from one of the Talmidim of the Gra. He brings a story there that's an incredible story, how the Gra, when he was making a siyum on his Pirush, on Shir HaShirim, on his commentary on Shir HaShirim, he invited like a few people that he was very close with, like his inner circle, into a dark room for the siyum. It wasn't like a well-lit room like this. It was like a little room, and all the lights were off, and there was just some candles there. It looked probably very spooky. And he basically told the people assembled in the room that this is not just a siyum on my Pirush and Shir HaShirim, even though that's probably what he thought it was. He says, this is a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kula. Now, that's pretty impressive, but he says, but it's not just on Kol HaTorah Kula. He says, it's a siyum on all the chachmas. He says, I have mastered every chachma. I have mastered mathematics, and I have mastered engineering, and I have mastered trigonometry, and I have mastered architecture. And he said that there's a few things that he didn't do. He didn't study. He says philosophy, he didn't find anything useful from all the studies in philosophy. It was like he didn't get anything from it. He said he studied music. And music, he said, has the power. If you understand the real essence of music, we just enjoy music, and maybe some of us play music, but there's a real deep science to music. And he says, if you understand the science of music, you would have the ability to be mechayim esim. You'd be able to revive the dead. And, you know, and this is what the Shira of the Levim was all about. The Levim didn't just play music. They understood the deepest mystical undertones of music. He says he wanted to study anatomy, but his father didn't let him. Why do you think his father didn't let him study anatomy? Doesn't every Jewish parent want their kid to be a doctor? No, he understood that if he studies anatomy and he knows how to heal people, now every time somebody has every time somebody has an accident, now suddenly they're going to call the Vilna Gaon out from his learning because he's going to have to go because he knows it's pikuach nefesh. So, you know, it's like that's the part of the problem with like joining Hatzalah. It's great to join Hatzalah on your terms, but you always have to be answering calls or else, like, it's on your head. If somebody dies, it's because of you. So it's like a responsibility. It's not just, you know, cool to be a part of Hatzalah, but there's a lot of achrayas to it. Achrayas to be a doctor, achrayas to be a dentist, whatever it is. You always have to help people, which is a good thing, but it's not always so convenient. Sometimes you're in the middle of learning, you're in the middle of a Shabbos meal, and you have to know what you're getting yourself into. Anyway, so the Vilna Gaon was a genius on every front, but he was also a genius when it came to figuring out life, meaning sometimes a person's a genius, but they don't really... They're not street smart. They're maybe book smart, but they don't know how to solve real life issues that come up. This past week's Haftarah was a Haftarah that's very rarely read because normally Miketz is Shabbos Chanukah, and if it's Shabbos Chanukah, will we lay in a certain Haftarah? Anyone know what the Haftarah is that we lay in Shabbos Chanukah? Where is that from? Which Navi is it? Zechariah, very good. Zechariah Navi speaks about the Nevuah of the Menorah. He speaks about the Menorah. So, you know, he had a Nevuah involving a Menorah. And so that's the tie-in to Shabbos Chanukah. So it's rare that we ever get to lane the actual regular Haftarah of Shabbos, of Parshas Miketz. But this past week, because Miketz was not Shabbos Chanukah this year was Vayeshev. So Miketz, we finally, it's very rare. It's like once, maybe every 19 years or so, that you lay in this Haftarah. Do anyone know what the Haftarah is about on Shabbos Chanukah, on Parshas Miketz, the regular one? Very good. Excellent. Very impressed. Shlomo HaMelech with the two babies, right? There was two mothers, and somehow their babies got mixed up, and one of the babies died at childbirth, and the other one was still alive, and both mothers were claiming that this is my baby. The baby that died is yours. The one that lived is mine. And so they brought this case to Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech was brilliant. He was the Chacham Mikol Adam. He was the smartest man that ever lived. And so Shlomo HaMelech, again, I'm bringing this up because sometimes, you know, you're smart, but you're book smart. But you're like when a real life case comes before you, you have no idea what to do with it. So here, Shlomo HaMelech says that I'm going to take the baby and I'm going to split it in half. And that's what I'm going to do. So one woman says, fine, that's a good idea. The other woman says, no, let her have the baby. And Shlomo HaMelech paskin, that the one that had the rachmanis on the baby, she was the real mother. She was the real mother, and the other one wasn't. You know, they say a story about two mothers-in-law, and they didn't know who the son-in-law was. So so the judge said, cut the son-in-law in half, and the one that said, yeah, that's a good idea, do it, she was the real mother-in-law. But I really hope my mother-in-law is not listening to this shir. But all right, let's go on. So I don't know why that haftarah would be on Parshas Vayeshev. Not sure what the tie-in is, but you know the tie-in? The dream. Right, that's how it starts, right? It starts Vayikat Shlomo. Okay, very good. So, fine. So let's see this story. What happened? There was a story that happened with the Gra. Al Isha Aguna Shabaila Azva Zeh Kamashonim. There was a certain woman that was in Aguna that her husband had abandoned her many, many years. Okay, so you understand the case. There's a woman that was in Aguna. She was a chained woman. She was a woman whose husband just flew the coop many years ago. V'igia echad v'amar shu abal. And somebody comes and claims that he's the husband. The yadal saper as kolon yani habayis, and he knew everything. He knew all the intimate details of their life, of the parents, of the family, where they keep the money, where they keep the, you know, he knew everything. And so you're wondering, like, why? I don't understand. Like, how do you not know if this is him or not? Like, you don't recognize, you know? The answer is that today we have photos, we have videos, we have, so it's easy to sort of, you know, remember everybody because you have pictures. Then they didn't have pictures. So, you know, somebody leaves like 15, 20 years ago and he comes back and he's talking about, you know, things, and he seems to know what he's talking about. He knows my middle name and he knows my social security number and he knows this and that. All right, fine, I guess it's my husband. It's hard to understand that, right? But that's the way I guess it was in those days. Anyway, there was something fishy about this guy. They weren't sure whether or not this really was the husband or not. He knew so much inside baseball that it made it seem pretty, you know, clear that it was. Who else would know all this stuff? But it must be the husband. But there still was something that didn't seem 100% right. So they brought it to the Gra. They said, what should we do? The Amar Gra, Lishol Eisai Al Mekaymai Beveis HaKnesses. The Gain says that ask him where you sit in shul. Where is your father's makam kavua in shul? Kiyim hu, and the way the story goes is that you know, that Friday night the father, this girl's father, this woman's father, took him to shul. And he said, this is the way I heard it, you know, he said, like, listen, I'm going to just have to ask somebody a question, like, go to the seat, so I'll meet you at the seat. And the guy didn't know where to go. It's something you don't forget, right? If you once davened in a shul for a while, you're going to know when you go into that shul, whether you make a right or a left or up front in the back, right? Yeah, that's something that you don't forget. But he had no idea where to go. And that made it very clear that he was a fraud. Why was he a fraud? How did he know everything else? So the guy explained, Ki im hubala ramis, if he's coming to fool, ubira mehabalas kolonyani abayas, keshemachshavtai letameis eshes chaveroi, lahaya oila al daita lishol inani kedusha klal. what happened was, how did this guy know all this information? They were wherever her husband was living, you know, wherever he went off to. Let's say they were in they were in the Far East together. So they were roommates. Maybe they rented an apartment together for many years, and at night they would just schmooze, and they would just talk about, you know, their lives beforehand and where they were and what they did. And he got a lot of information out of this guy. And then when he came back to Vilna or whatever it was, you know, he was able to know so much that he is going to use that and be metame this woman and just basically move into this guy's place, and he knew everything. But what he didn't know, he knew about the money, he knew about the clothing, he knew about the, you know, everything. But what you're not gonna discuss, if you're that type of person, if you're a low life type of person that would even do this, you're not gonna think or talk or care about where the Makum Kavua was in Shul. That's not something you're talking about. Talking about everything, you're talking about sports, you're talking about politics, you're talking about philosophy, you're talking about intimate details of your life, but you're not talking about shul. Because people that are Isaac in tame things, their minds are not on Tara things. It's just the way it is. The Achen Kachaya and the Vilna Gaon was proven right. And everybody found out that the guy was a big fraud. So vihine yadua, it's known shet sadike eilam kasher ba safik liyadam. It was known that when sadike eilam have a safik, how do you think the Vilna Gaon knew this? Where did the Vilna Gaon get it? Just thought about it on his own. Rapinkus is speculating that, like many other gedolei Yisrael, whatever they have, any thought that they had, any machshava, any theory, any it was all found in the Torah. There's nothing that they didn't take from the Torah. The Torah has everything in it. The Torah is all inclusive, and any chachma that you want, and any thorny issue that needs to be resolved, there's a way to figure it out from the Torah itself. So chafsu b'machmanei Torah, he searched out all of the secrets, all of the inner, you know, channels of the Torah, mishum dekulo, because everything is in the Torah. V'nirusha makar l'divrei hagrahu kan. So Rapinka says, where did the guy get this from? How did he get this chachma to do this? That only things that are, you know, that things that are holy are only going to be in the, no one else would know about things that are holy except for people that are holy. He says, this is the makar for the gain. She Yaakov chipe simen etzel Yosef, hayim hu Yosef bemes. Yaakov wanted to figure out, just like the gains, that family wanted to figure out whether this guy, this potential son-in-law was legit or not. So Yaakov wanted to figure out, was Yosef the real Yosef? Maybe it was a fake Yosef. Maybe it was a Yosef that was just trying to, like, fool the father, and not, but it wasn't really legitimately him. V'lehemin at shehevi simon shel davar shebekdusha. He didn't believe until he brought a simon of a davar shebekdusha, of something that is a matter of holiness. Okay, he didn't believe in whatever they were telling. They were telling him a lot of things. They were telling him that he was the Moshe of Mitzrayim. I don't care. He was telling that he was the most powerful man. I don't care. He was telling him that he's going to provide us with food. I don't care. That's not, doesn't prove anything. It doesn't mean that that's Yosef. Maybe it's a fake Yosef. But the way that you're able to determine whether somebody is legitimately the right person is with Davar Shebekdusha. Until he hears Egla Rufa, until he knows that there's a sugi of Egla Rufa, Shalamdu Biyachad Parashat Egla Rufa, that's the only really thing, that's the thing that matters the most. It's the only thing that matters, the only way to prove that Yosef is alive. He might have been a Yosef that was either a fake Yosef, maybe it was that Yosef, but he just wasn't the Yosef that Yaakovina wanted. He was a Yosef that was, that was into everything else. But until when he heard that there was an Egla Rufa, when he was able to see the simon of Egla Rufa, he remembers, only Yosef would know about that. No one else would know what we were learning together when we left many, many years ago. But that's, you know, that's what, that's you're able to, there's a story that I just thought of that Rav Shach used to be chavrusas, I think, with somebody before the war. They were learning yeshiva together. I believe, what's his name? A very big guy in Eretz Yisrael. I forgot his name right now. But anyway, they were learning together a sugya before the war, and then the war broke out, and Rav Shach, you know, managed to get to one city, another city, and he was able to get eventually to Eretz Yisrael, and he was safe. And the other one went through, I don't know if he went through the concentration camps or whatever, and he ultimately also made it back to Eretz Yisrael. And then they met. They met each other again, like maybe 15 years later. And they just, without even saying Shalom Aleichem, they just sort of continued whatever sugya they were learning. You know, the whole world had turned around. The whole world literally, you know, caught fire. And people, 6 million Yidden died, and different governments had changed, governments had risen, governments had fallen, you know, hundreds of millions of people were involved in warfare and Great World War, and but they just were able to reconnect with Torah. When you have a connection that's Torah-dic, then that's the great. You'll see Mitzvah Hashem. You know, someday you'll bump into an old chavrusa from Lander, and you know, and you'll reconnect. And there's that kesher, not because you know you played basketball together necessarily, and not because you're roommates, and not because you're, but the real connection that you make with people are connections that are tayridic, that are, you know, that you learn together, you're in shir together, you're chavrusas together, you gave a chabur, you're in the same chabura, and when you have that connection, that's a kesher that's nitzchi. It's a kesher that's eternal. Nothing will ever break that bond. I have friends that I've been friends with for decades, and it's not built on, oh, we went to a basketball game together, or we have, you know, we like the same type of food. I had those type of friends also, but like, you know, it just comes and goes. Like it's not, they're not meaningful. But the friends that are built on a connection of Torah, you know, it's different. It's different. I have a friend who, you know, I remember he spoke by my Sheva Brachas, and I remember the Vart that he says, and every year, like on that Parsha, like, you know, almost every year, I like, you know, I'll call him and I'll leave him a text. And I still remember that Vart that you said about on Parshas Balak with Bilam, and I know exactly the Vart, and you know, and he remembers my. It's a different connection, but that's what the Vilna Gaon understood. That the only thing that you can, if there's people that are holy, they'll know. This is what that their interest. They'll remember Gemaras. You'll ask them, what Gemara do we learn together? You'll be able to remember it. Just when I left the house just now, 10 minutes, whatever it was, a half an hour ago, and we got an invitation to a wedding, and it was one of my son's rabbeim that sent the invitation. It was the reason why we got invited is because my son's rabbi from many, many years ago, he's marrying a cousin of mine, so it was really from the cousin side. But it happened to be that the son's rabbi sent it, So my son asked me, he says, do you remember, you know, do you remember that rabbi? I said, yeah, of course I remember. I said, I remember he taught you Bekiyas and Maseches Megillah. And I remember, you know, learning with, you know, I don't remember anything about the rabbi. I just know what he taught him. And that's what he remembers. It's like, which, if you had a good rabbi, you'll remember what Masech do you learn with that rabbi. But learning, that's the way learning is. Learning has a power that it's able to go pass across time and everything. It's not to say you can't have friends that, you know, that you share other interests, but those friendships are not strong friendships. They're just built on, you know, they're built on Dvarim Shel Mabakach. It's nice to have those friends also, but real friendships are friendships that are built on Torah and Dvarim Shel Kedusha. And Yosef was smart enough. He knew that if I want my father to realize that it's really me, and it's not an imposter Yosef, or it's not a Yosef that Yaakov doesn't want to recognize, I have to do one thing. I have to send him a signal that he'll appreciate. And the signal that he appreciates was the fact that I remember what we learned. It's not so hard to do, because that's what we would all remember. That if we parted from our father, this was probably he was chazering probably day and night, that the beautiful learning that they did together before they left on about Egel Arufa. And I just had a machshava now. I don't know, it hasn't really even hatched yet, but it's a little difficult, to understand what the siman was. Like I said before, Egla Rufa and Vayaris Hagalas are two separate things. And Egla Rufa means a calf with a broken neck. That's really what it means. That's the sugya that they were learning. It's a Gemara. It's a parak in Masechta Saita, parak Egla Rufa. And Vayaris Hagalas, he didn't send them a calf. He sent them wagons. What's a wagon? What's the kesher between a wagon and an egla? It's the same letters, but it's not like, what's the symbol? What's the kesher? So I don't know. Anyone thought of that ever? Like, what's it? Just the fact that it's the same sounding words, or maybe? I mean, the one thing I think is might be the actual pshat is that he might not have, it wasn't a simon in the agla. It wasn't that he saw the wagons. Vayaris Hagol says maybe that was, he told his brothers to tell the father, Egla Rufa. Vayaris Hagol, he saw the agolas, meaning he understood that Yosef's, from this was a password that he gave. Doesn't mean Vayaris Hagolas in this pasuk, the way Rashi's bringing it, doesn't mean that he just was supposed to figure it out from the fact that the word agala is similar to egla. That's like a stretch, right? Maybe he told him Vayaris Hagolas. He sent me a password, Egla Rufa. Fine. But maybe what we're saying tonight, maybe Vayaris Hagolas is that the Egla Rufa. The fact that we learn together that sugya, that's something that an agala is a way to transport something. An agala means that a wagon is something that you transport things. You put cargo in, and the agala takes it somewhere. And that's really what Tyra is. Tyra is the ability that it transports a person. Time is nothing. Space is nothing. It's a way of transporting two people, connecting them from many, many years ago. As soon as we sit down together, we could talk about, we talk in learning, and all of a sudden, like, the years just fly away. It's a way that we can connect, and we could travel together through time, in order to reconnect, in order to break away all of the years and all the experiences that got in the way. And that's really what this parsha of Egla Rufa was to between Yaakov and Yosef. It was an agala. It was a transport system to connect them to one another, and to make them realize that all that really counts in life is the things that are dvar shebekdush in our life. And that's the aside. We should learn from this. A very important lesson for life, that if we want to establish good friendships, we should learn Torah with people. There's no greater way of being makariv somebody, of gaining a cat. If you, let's say there's somebody in yeshiva that you want to be friendly with, right? But you don't know how to do it. Like, what do we go bowling together? We go to a pizza store. Like, what? How do you get friendly with somebody in yeshiva? You get friendly. You say, hey, do you have any time? I'd like to learn with you. Bekias or Mesilas Yesharim or something. You go over to a guy and you learn with them, you're going to be best friends the rest of your life. Everything else, lab dafka. You want to play tennis, you want to pick a ball with, maybe yes, maybe no, but it's not going to, doesn't. It's not, there's no traction on that relationship. It's not gonna. But if you want to be friendly with somebody, really, the best way to do it is just learn with them. This is a trick that that Kirov people know. You know, you could. There's many different ways of being Makarev people, but there's no better way of being Makarev somebody than sitting and learning with them. You sit and learn with them. You sit and learn a little Torah. It doesn't mean that you also have to have chulent with them and you have to invite them for Shabbos, v'kulei. But when you learn with somebody, even if it's a person that never learned in their life, but don't underestimate the power of a Darvish HaBekdusha. If you learn with somebody, it's ma'ached two people. And, you know, it's nice if you're dating a girl, you know, and you, and I'm not recommending that you should just learn with a girl, but like, it's nice to say divrei Torah to each other or sit and learn, you know, as the dates progress. Remember, I used to have a Talmud who used to, you know, I would, you know, they would learn together like a little bit every date, like in the later dates. They had a seder in I think it was Ali Shur. It was a nice thing. They learned together Ali Shur. I think they still learn together Ali Shur. It creates a beautiful kesher. It's like a spiritual kesher that's established. Besides for the regular kesher, it's also important to eat ice cream together and to discuss you know what your favorite color is and all that. But those are things that are very transient. It's important for a relationship that you get those things checked off also, but in terms of the reality, the if you want to create a kesher that's nitzchi, a kesher kayama, the best way to do that is by learning. With a father and a son, a grandfather and a grandson, a husband and a wife, siblings, a friend. The more that you learn, the more that you do Dharma Shabbat Dusha with that person, the more there's a very deep and eternal relationship that can never be broken. And that's what that was the genius of the Vilna Gaon. That was the genius of Yosef by sending the Agalas to Yaakov Avinu, because that's the only thing it's the only way to prove that you're really still alive, that you really have a Dharma Shabbat Dusha. And it's Hashem. You'll see that as you go through life, the more Dvarim Shebekdusha, the more friendships that you could build by learning together, the more you'll have many, many deeply rooted connections with many, many people on the right path, the right way. And Mitzvah Hashem. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha to have many, many good chaverim, good friends. And the friendships should be built on a lot of things, but primarily on Kedusha, on Torah, on Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm.